Well, hello everyone. My name's Robin. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm in Durham, North Carolina. And thank you for inviting me to join today. Every day is a good day for a meeting, and today is especially good. So glad that we all made it to the room. It was 1988. It was February. When I was 12 stepped into these rooms, I was looking at schools for higher education, and I had flown out to the West Coast and the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was looking at a school, and they had a whole week of, come and check us out. And there was a local lady who was interested in the same program as I was, and a bunch of us. But the local lady and I sort of glommed onto each other. And because she knew her way around, she happily took me by the hand and showed me all the wonderful places. And one of those evenings, we were in a restaurant having some dinner. Well, we were trying to have dinner. And I was particularly undone by the fact that it was taking so long to get our dinner, and she was rattling on about this addiction that she had about food and compulsive eating and on and on. And I'm just like almost pounding on the table with my knife and fork, like, "Where's the food?" So somehow she knew. Although I was in a, I'll say an average body size, she knew. I don't know how she knew, but she knew that I needed to hear her story. We finished out that week of checking out the school. She put me in a cab to the airport, gave me the hug, "Hope I see you here." I didn't choose that school. But she put an envelope in my hand. It was one of those business size envelopes, and she had typed on the front, "Dear Robin, do not open this envelope until you're ready to change your life. Love, Marilyn." So I flew home and dutifully tossed it into a drawer and didn't really think anything about it. And when I came time to choose the school, I did not choose the West Coast. In fact, I chose Durham, North Carolina. And moved all my stuff. This was 1988, and my stuff appeared, in Durham, North Carolina, and along with it, everything that was in each of my drawers. Well, the program, the school program that I had chosen, was quite a bit more than I had bargained for, and all those old adaptive behaviors that I had about eat and then maybe run a few miles or restrict and then binge, or whatever it was that I was doing with food that was just not normal. I couldn't do anymore because the program that I had enrolled in was so heavy with demand that all I could do or found myself doing was eating. And my mind went to that envelope. And that conversation in that hole-in-the-wall restaurant that Marilyn had taken me to about this compulsive eating thing. So I thought, I wonder what I did with that envelope. So I walk into my bedroom, I walk over to my nightstand, I open up the drawer, and sure enough, after rifling around, there was that envelope. "Dear Robin, do not open this envelope until you're ready to change your life." I should have pulled it up. I still have it from 1988. And inside was OA literature. Now, this is back in the day when, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any of that. I went to the white pages, right? Let your fingers do the walking. And so I go to the white pages, and I find that there's a there is, oh my God, a phone number for Overeaters Anonymous. So I call it, and it's the old, it's the outgoing message where it's not even like it wasn't even sophisticated enough to like press one for Apex meetings, press two for Raleigh meetings. It was like I had to listen to the whole thing, and I think Durham was like last on the list. But I got that there was going to be a Friday meeting, at a Catholic church upstairs in the education building and, 8 o'clock and show up. So I did. Now, I will not tell you it was love at first sight. What I will tell you, it was lots of people that looked, won't say strange because that wasn't it either. I don't even know the word, but I didn't know that they were going to be my people. I guess I'll just say it that way. I just didn't know they were going to be my people, right? Because I was, at the time, I was 26. Well, I sat through the meeting. I'm no stranger to ritual. I'm a churchgoer from way back. So I was no stranger to, like, we do things, we do it this way, we do it in an order, and then that's it. Then you go home. So I was no stranger to that sort of format, but I heard two things. I heard keep coming back, and I heard get a sponsor. So I left the meeting with a sponsor. In other words, I asked somebody. I didn't know any different, so I'm like, okay, I'll ask. So I tapped somebody on the shoulder. It was a man. I didn't know about that gender thing, but I asked this man, and I said, "Would you be my sponsor?" And he said, "Yes." So he started me out, and it was a very doable beginning. He said, "Let's talk about food. Let's talk about what you need for your first food plan." Well, I mean, without getting into, I don't want to burn up all my time on all of that, but it was one sort of food plan. And you can imagine through all these years since 1988, there's been a lot of changes and adjustments, and I will say narrowing, of course, and also not just the food, but the food behaviors. Now, he did sort of talk about the steps. But it wasn't until I mean, he was just sort of, in a way, a temporary sponsor. He got me sort of up and rolling, and keep coming back to meetings. That was, preached to me. Keep coming back to meetings. So I did. I mean, I did what I was told. And then I got a lady sponsor, and she got me going on the steps. I remember the first four step I did. I'm so efficient. I didn't have time to write. Right, I was enrolled in this big ass program. I didn't have time to write, so I was on a some kind of a driving thing where I had to drive somewhere for a couple hours. So I got one of those little, remember those mini tape recorders, and I was like, I'm just gonna do my four step this way. And then I handed her the tape, and I'm like, here, this is five, right? This is step five. I'll just give you the tape. She was like, no, Doesn't count. Flag on the play. So, of course, I had to go back and I had to do a real four step. Now, I will tell you this. When I came in, we didn't even have this. This is vintage, folks. This was the first OA 12 steps. This doesn't even have the 12 traditions. See it? All we had was the AA material. And I'm glad we did. I mean, I came in just after gray sheet. Now, the thing that was so cool, though, was that I love OA, of course I do. But I'll tell you what I really love about the AA 12 and 12. I mean, I think the AA just hits between the eyes. I mean, it doesn't mince words. It's like, you're an addict. You're an addict. Do you need any more evidence of that? And the Big Book does that for us too. If you think there's any, if you need to go out and do some more research and development, feel free. But when you know that you have this disease, then come on back and we're going to take care of you. We're going to love you until you can love yourself. So I got that, and I also heard, don't leave until the miracle happens. Now, I will tell you, I came in because I didn't want to gain weight, and I knew that there was something crazy loose in my brain, but I didn't really understand the whole recasting of one's life and priorities. I mean, I thought if I could just get my food straight, and floss every night. Like, God, please just make me normal. Now I'm grateful I'm an addict. And here's why. As an addict, I am predisposed to have overblown reactions. They're not little mini ones. They're usually big ones, but even little ones count, you know, because like I'm just going to be more dramatic. And inside each of those is a gift. And this is what I'm learning. This is where the miracle happened. See, I thought 1988, and probably for 10 years running, I thought that if I just kept showing up, I wouldn't have overblown responses anymore. I wouldn't be around the twist, or that life was going to be fine as long as I like check boxes. And here's what I've learned. Life isn't going to be fine. Life's going to continue to be life. And so it's up to me to make the adjustments. Not that I can control my emotions. I can't. I'm going to have them. It's like the weather, we're going to have some. And sometimes it's pleasant and sometimes it's not. And you know, it's up to me to dress appropriately for that weather. So if it's stormy, why am I outside in beach wear, you know? I don't think so. So I have to take account for, all right, stuff's going to happen in life. Now, I am not a tree. I don't have to stay outside, but I can move myself to safe spaces. And I mean that literally, and I mean that figuratively. So if I'm starting to get overwrought and around the twist about something that's going on, first of all, I need to step away from the offending situation. Boundaries are more about me not hurting others than others not hurting me. So remove myself from the situation. I'm not a tree. And then once I'm over, you know, in my own little prayer chair or quiet corner, then I can start to do what I think of as my step work, which for me is the big drill down. What's going on? What's really going on here? What's this really about? Because on this, it will have a superficial appearance of, well, it's about them and look at how they, or what about her, or, you know, some platitude of offense. But I'm the one who's getting triggered. So why am I getting triggered about that particular thing? Well, that's where the steps come in. And whether you're doing four and five and six and seven, or whether it's the old 10th step, you know, kind of inventory in the moment, the point is there's something underlying that. And the question that always helps me is, and what's that about? And then what's that about? And what's that about? So if I'm trying to throw shoes at someone's television because I don't like the program that they're watching, it's got something to do with me. And a real quick drill down on that one was my husband was like, why are you like taking off your shoes and getting ready to like toss them at people's television? I'm like, because did you see that writing? Oh my gosh, that writing was horrible. Da 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 da. They got factually wrong. Da 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 da. He's like, okay, well, you know, like that's okay. We can just like go in the other room. I'm like, no, you don't understand. And I'm just around the twist. And he's like, Robin, I'm like, well, you know, if I were writing for a show like that, you know, I would do da 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 da. He's like, okay. And it's like, and what's that about? And I'm like, well, I should be writing, you know, people should be, you know, like watching and looking and paying attention to things that Robin Arcus writes. Yo, really? And what's that about? Well, that's about like I'm not really doing the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing right now, which is what? Well, I, you know, I have these undiscovered, oh, writing. And what's that about? Well, I have this fear about I don't really want to write because if I write, then maybe people won't like what I write. And what's that about? Well, you know, so you see, there's a big drill down here, and most of it is about me. And until I take inventory of that and see that it's me who's got some fear, some undisclosed something that's gnawing, I have no hope of healing. Here's the miracle. When we come into these rooms and do our work, we heal. We or at least have a shot at healing. But I gotta do the work. I've gotta do the drill downs to see what's underlying all this. And usually it comes out for me at some form of not feeling affirmed or acknowledged or accepted. I mean, here are the A's. I even wrote them down, the seven A's that we're all after, I think, or at least my famous seven A's. I want to be acknowledged. I want to be affirmed. I want to be accepted. I want to be appreciated. I want to be admired. I want to be acclaimed. I want to be adored. And all the rackets that I'm running out there in life have to do with one of two things. A basic biological need, or B, it's in pursuit of one of these A's. You know, I want to be feel like I belong, like I'm accepted, or I want to feel like I'm affirmed. I want to feel like I'm okay.
Robin, you got 5 minutes.
Thank you, Jane. Well, you know, as a human being, I'm going to go about acquiring the either basic biological need or one of these A's. I'm going to go about it probably in a pretty warped way because I'm an addict. So I got to take my medicine, and the medicine I take is showing up to these rooms, hearing all of you, having you remind me that if I do this work, I will be relieved of the bondage of self. So let's talk a minute about higher power because I would be, incomplete entirely not to bring God into the picture. So when I'm doing the drill down, 99% of the time, the first amends I owe is to my higher power. Because in the pursuit of these things, I have forgotten that I already have all those A's that I'm craving. The affirmations, the adorations, the acclamation, the acceptance, all of the A's, I already have them. That's why steps two and three come before four and five and six and seven. Because I have to have some kind of higher power in play, in place, who really does have me, want me. And I really think that step three is trusting that that's true. That's the decision. Is am I going to for today trust? I might not believe it. I might not believe it. But trust is different. And they make that point in the AA material. Trust is different. Trust is a decision. I'm going to trust for today that I have a higher power and that higher power absolutely. Head to toe, one in one, just like me on this planet. And that would be true of all of you. I mean, like hold out your hand. the very fact that you're here, if you ever wondered if you were meant to be here, well, that's all you have to do. like you're here. Ta-da! You were meant to be here. You were absolutely meant to be here. I'm meant to be here. So if I'm meant to be here and
One
God
minute,
wanted one
Robin.
just like me, then I can trust that that is true, foundationally and fundamentally. And then that makes that all of this chase around for all these A's moot because I already have them. And the first amends is to my higher power for forgetting that. And then I can go on and make any other adjustments and amends to any other parties that are deserving of theirs. So I know my time is up. I'm just so grateful to be able to share a little snippet of my story, and I hope to hear from some of you and your stories of healing and hope. So thank you for letting me share.